Arrested Obedience. This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004, my name is Steve Webb. I'm your OG Godcaster. This is the daily podcast where we read the entire Bible in a year. What's going on? Our reading today is Genesis 12 through 15. We'll do our On This Date in Church History segment, and we'll have some prayer. Father, as we read today, show us what you want us to learn. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get started. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse those who curse you, and through you I will bless all the nations." When Abram was 75 years old, he started out from Haran, as the Lord had told him to do, and Lot went with him. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the wealth and all the slaves they had acquired in Haran, and they started out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land until he came to the sacred tree of Moreh, the holy place at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were still living in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "This is the country that I am going to give to your descendants." Then Abram built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. After that, he moved on south to the hill country east of the city of Bethel and set up his camp between Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There also he built an altar and worshipped the Lord. Then he moved on from place to place, going toward the southern part of Canaan. But there was a famine in Canaan, and it was so bad that Abram went farther south to Egypt to live there for a while. When he was about to cross the border into Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "You are a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will assume that you are my wife, and so they will kill me and let you live. Tell them that you are my sister. Then, because of you, they will let me live and treat me well." When he crossed the border into Egypt, the Egyptians did see that his wife was beautiful. Some of the court officials saw her and told the king how beautiful she was, so she was taken to his palace. Because of her, the king treated Abram well and gave him flocks of sheep and goats, cattle, donkeys, slaves, and camels. But because the king had taken Sarai, the Lord sent terrible diseases on him and on the people of his palace. Then the king sent for Abram and asked him, "What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say that she was your sister and let me take her as my wife? Here is your wife. Take her and get out." The king gave orders to his men, so they took Abram and put him out of the country, together with his wife and everything he owned. Genesis chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Genesis chapter 14. And it came about in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar. All these came as allies to the valley of Siddim, that is, the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and defeated the Rephaim in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, and the Emim in Sheva-Kirathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En-Mishpat, that is, Kadesh, and conquered all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, who lived in Hazazon-Tamar. And the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar, came out, and they arrayed for battle against them in the valley of Siddim, against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and they fell into them. But those who survived fled to the hill country. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their food supply, and departed. They also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions, and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Abram, the Hebrew. Now he was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were allies with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them, and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods, and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. Then, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." He gave him a tenth of all. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing." Genesis chapter 15. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession." But Abram replied, "How can I be sure that I will actually possess it?" The Lord told him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After 4 generations your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction." After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, "I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. The land now occupied by the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." Let's talk about Genesis 12. I'm calling today's episode Arrested Obedience. Joshua 24:2 tells us that Abram came from a family that lived on the other side of the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. This place is identified as Ur of the Chaldees in Genesis 11:28 and 31, Genesis 15:7, and Nehemiah 9:7. Acts 7:4 calls it the land of the Chaldeans. This is in the area of modern-day Iraq. It was in the lower region of what was called the Fertile Crescent. It was a land of prosperity with a thriving civilization, and Abram's father, Terah, seems to have been wealthy. While Abram was still living in this land of prosperity, Acts 7:3 says that, quote, "God told him, 'Leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you,'" unquote. Well, we have to sort of piece the story together. In Genesis 11:31, we're told that one day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, who was Abram's wife, by the way, and his grandson Lot, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. And in our chapter today, verse 1, we're told, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you.'" And then right after that, God gives Abram the promise. But let's not talk about the promise now. Let's stay here for right now. Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I'll show you. Okay? Abram and his family are living the good life in Ur. He's from a family of idol worshipers. Maybe Abram is himself an idol worshiper. We don't know. We're not told that specifically, but his family was. I mean, he was raised in this culture. And God comes to him and says, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I'll show you." Then what happens? Abraham heads out with his wife and relatives. What did God tell him? "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family." So Abram only partially obeyed God's command. I mean, to his credit, he did say, "Okay, I'll leave this beautiful place of prosperity." He gets credit for that. But God specifically said, "Leave your relatives and your father's family." And in Genesis 11:31, the detail that they were headed for the land of Canaan is included. So we know that they were traveling in the right direction. But what happened? Verse 31 continues, "But they stopped at Haran and settled there." Haran was not the land that God had called Abram to. Haran was only about halfway to Canaan, but they stopped there anyway. Why? We're not told. What we are told is that they stopped short of fully following God's command. Abram was in a state of arrested obedience. He obeyed part way, but then he stopped. He was in the process of going where God told him to go, but he stopped. It was not until Abram's father, Terah, died, and Abram was now 75 years old, that Abram and his household, including Lot, by the way, and all of his possessions, left Haran, and restarted his journey to Canaan. It's interesting to note that the name Terah means delay, and Haran means barren. Abram's partial obedience, or arrested obedience, caused delay and barrenness for Abram. God's plan will always be accomplished, but our disobedience can be costly for us. Listen to Charles Spurgeon's words. The result of this to Abram was the absence of privilege. God spoke not to his servant in Haran. Neither dream, nor vision, nor voice came to him in the place of hesitancy. The Lord loved him, but hid his face from him, and denied him the visits of his grace. Yet Abraham is known as a great man of faith. How can this be? How can a man who didn't have enough faith to fully follow the Lord's command be called a great man of faith? Well, because one failure does not define us, beloved. And God's grace looks at the heart. Yes, Abram got off the track, but he got back on. And as we read more of Abram's life, we will see several times that his obedience is not perfect. But as God works with him, his faith grows. There used to be a bumper sticker that said, "Be patient, God isn't finished with me yet." Well, it's sort of trite, but it's true. I can say with complete confidence that the faith I have today is not the same as the day I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was a 16-year-old boy. God uses our failures, the difficulties of life, and sometimes even our successes to teach us and grow our faith. Beloved, don't let a temporary setback defeat you. Ask God to forgive you, then get back on track. Today we read about Abram's failure. Yesterday we read about Paul's struggle with sin. It's part of the human experience. All of us have to deal with sin. As long as it is a struggle, as long as you don't give up, God is willing to forgive. After all, in Matthew 18, when Peter asked Jesus how often he should forgive his brother, Jesus told him, 70 times 7, meaning as often as necessary. If we are to forgive in that way, why would God limit the forgiveness he has for us? Tomorrow's reading is Joshua 16 through 20. We'll see how the promised land was divided up amongst the 12 tribes and the surprising way that God told Joshua to deal with someone who accidentally killed another person.
Boost!
On this date in church history, November 10th, today we're thinking about Fanny Crosby and the hymn that became a testimony for millions of believers around the world, Blessed Assurance. Fanny Crosby had been blind since infancy, but she never considered her blindness a misfortune. She would often say that the first face she would ever see would be the face of Jesus. Her hymns were not written to be admired as poetry. They were written to be sung by everyday believers with hearts full of the hope of Christ. The story of Blessed Assurance began during a visit with her friend, composer Phoebe Knapp. Phoebe sat at the piano and played a new melody she had just composed. Then she asked Fanny, "What does this tune say?" Immediately, Fanny replied, "It says, 'Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine,'" and the rest of the hymn flowed easily from her heart. From there, the hymn spread through the churches, revival meetings, and family gatherings. It was simple, memorable, and joyful. The chorus has become the testimony of countless believers. "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." If you'd like to hear the hymn and learn more about the story behind it, I covered Blessed Assurance on Episode 6 of my podcast, Lifespring Hymn Stories, way back so many years ago. I'll have a link to the hymn on the show notes page. I finally got my Bitcoin node completely updated and running today after having been barely limping along for months. Thanks, ChatGPT. I'll tell you that only to say that I can now see when Satoshis come in from you, streaming boosts and boostograms. And now that I've had a good look, I want to thank Fountain user 940-187-34888-328 for the boost that you've been sending, and Brother Michael Hainer for streaming those sats consistently for a really, really long time. And Fountain user 414-60482 sent a boostogram with 400 sats and said, "A meetup next year?" Now, I'm guessing that this is Leo Bravo. So if it is, brother, I'm going to say yes. I have a couple places in mind. Let me see what kind of traffic they have on Saturday afternoons, and I'll get in touch with you. And thank you for hanging in there with me, brother. And if that isn't Leo Bravo, then let me know who you are. And Anonymous sent in $77.33 with a note, "Keeping up God's work." Well, thank you, Anonymous. God bless you. And again, Brother Michael Hainer sent in his weekly $7.77. God bless you, Michael. If you're not into the Sats thing, but you want to help keep the show going, you can always donate in a more familiar way like Anonymous did and Brother Michael Hainer does every week, by sending dollars. There's really no learning curve there, right? Just go to support.lifespringmedia.com and choose an amount that makes sense to you. $5, $20, $500, or any other number. Whatever value the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible Rewind has for you. You can make a one-time donation or weekly, monthly, or quarterly. An ongoing donation is helpful for planning on my part, but you choose. Only you know what makes sense for you. There are certain titles that will be conferred on some levels of support, and I would love to recognize you on the show for achieving them. Learn all about it and donate at
LifespringMedia.com/support.
When you send support in any form or any amount, you are helping to spread the good news to a world that needs it. So God bless you. Praises and prayer requests. Well, my friend Mark's surgery went well. He said he's feeling great, but of course Saturday's surgery hurts a little. He said, "I'll be happy when the rest of the stitches come out." So praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are holy. You are righteous. We need your grace more than we can know, and we thank you for it. Father, we thank you that you've been with Mark and his surgeon throughout this past week of surgeries, and now we just pray that there are no complications or recurrences of the cancer. Thank you for watching over him. And now, Lord, I pray for the LifeSpring family. I know that there are those who are struggling, and we ask that you walk with them through whatever they're going through. Give them wisdom. Give them grace. Be close to them, Lord, and lead them and guide them. Heal broken hearts, Lord. Hold them in your loving arms. We thank you that you're always there, and that when we seek after you, you're always faithful. For those, Lord, who are facing decisions this week, I pray, God, that you would help them. Give them wisdom. Show them the way, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you have a praise or a prayer request, be sure to go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com, because when you send your prayer requests in, I'll pray for you in my daily prayer time, and I'll pray for you on the show so that we can all agree together as we take our requests to God. Tell someone about the show. The only effective way to make the world a better place is to change people's hearts. And that starts with the Word of God. That's what the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible Rewind is all about. And I would love to hear what you have to say. Comment on the show at comment.lifespringmedia.com or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll read some of your comments on the show, and I really do want to hear from you. And now, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of your day. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.
If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe so that you never miss an episode.